Please be seated. When I was a child, I remember how my three siblings and I would watch our parents carefully. We wanted to be sure that they were always being fair to us. If there was any perceived favoritism, surely one of us would cry out, "That's not fair." I'm not unique in that. I think our world teaches us, even from childhood, that there are certain ways we are supposed to behave. That if we behave well, we're well regarded. We'll be rewarded. If we behave badly, we are punished. That these and other rules will always be applied fairly. And then we mature into adulthood and realize, yeah, life doesn't always work that way. Life is not always fair. Good deeds can go unrewarded. Poor behavior can elude punishment. We can be sure someone is doing a terrible job at something and needs some kind of reprimand or to be changed, and it doesn't happen. Or we can feel ourselves unappreciated or taken for granted. Plain and simple, things are not always fair. Today's scripture lessons are about that very thing. They are about our expectations of fairness and about God's sense of justice and compassion. The passages highlight how there can often be a wide gulf between our expectations, particularly of fairness, of justice, and God's. In our first lesson, we hear from Jonah, and Jonah sounds like a petulant child. He's all but saying, "It is not fair." God has called Jonah to a prophetic role, sent him off to the people of Nineveh so that he can call them to repent, to give up their evil ways, to turn to God. Jonah, if you remember the story, wants nothing to do with this. Jonah is very reluctant. That's probably an understatement. He doesn't want to accept this commission from God, and so he runs away, thinking he can flee from God. And you know that part of the story where he ends up on the ship, he's cast overboard in a great storm, but the big fish saves him, spits him up onto land. Jonah, throughout that whole experience of running, finds God is with him. God is going to work with him until Jonah does what God asks. And so finally, after being spit out of the great fish, Jonah reluctantly decides, "Well, I guess I should go to Nineveh." And so he does, and he preaches to the people that call to repentance. And then what happens? The people listen. All the people listen, even up to the king, and they repent. Now you might think, seeing that happen, that Jonah would rejoice. The people have turned to God. But instead, Jonah is angry. Jonah wants to see that city of Nineveh destroyed. He wants the people punished as they deserve. And when God does not do this, Jonah is very unhappy, and he sits on a hill. And he sits there hoping he'll still yet get to see the destruction. During this time, God sends that tree which shades him from the sun, but then the next day sends the worm that kills the tree. And so Jonah is just angry and wants to die. God, in response, asks Jonah, "What right does he have to be angry?" And Jonah says, "He just knew this would happen. He knew that God would do this." Jonah knew that God would relent and forgive the people. It is such human nature, I think, for us to desire punishment for wrongs that are committed. Like Jonah, we all have times when we want someone to get what they deserve. And we can expend great time and energy thinking about this. I was reflecting at 9 o'clock this morning with the discussion group how this has come up through the years in discussion group when we talk about lessons for each Sunday. And people have wondered, what about this God of ours? What will it be if I get to heaven and I find out that Hitler is there? How will that be for me to experience? Can someone who has created or perpetrated great atrocities be forgiven? Is God that compassionate? Will God bring them into the fullness of God's kingdom? And will we be able to rejoice if that happens? At heart of these questions is, I think, the importance to remember God's nature. And I think we can sometimes forget who God is. Our psalm today reminds us in verse 8 that God is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. God does not conform to our notions of earthly justice and fairness. God does not, thanks be to God, treat sinners as sinners deserve. Throughout the story of Jonah, it's interesting how God shows Jonah compassion. God does not punish Jonah for running away, but waits, saves him from drowning. God doesn't chastise Jonah for his anger at God. God is patient. God seeks Jonah. God protects and cares for Jonah. God is always faithful to Jonah, just as God is faithful to the city of Nineveh. And so Jonah needs to be careful in being angry at God for forgiving the Ninevites, because God does not act like we act. The compassion and the forgiveness of God is shown to Jonah, to the people of Nineveh, and in fact is shown to each of us. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds his followers not to be upset by the mercy and the compassion of God. And Jesus cautions against becoming envious when God shows generous love towards someone else, especially if there's someone we think does not deserve it. The passage follows what happens just before when Peter asks, "Lord, what reward will we receive? We have left everything, family, our homes, our jobs, to follow you." Jesus assures Peter and the others that they will receive a hundredfold of what they have left. In fact, they will inherit eternal life. And then Jesus adds, "But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Reminding them that God does not operate as we do, does not follow our rules and practices. And then today's parable is the illustration of this. Jesus tells about a landowner who hires laborers at different times of the day. Some work the entire day, some work only an hour. At the end of the day, the workers are given their wages, and those who worked all day in the heat of the day grumble. They are sounding a lot like Jonah. One of them says, "This is not fair. How can you pay us the same?" Because no matter how long they work, they all got the full day's wage. In response, the landowner reminds them that those who worked all day, he paid what he had agreed. He gave them a full day's wage. "Am I not allowed to do what I choose?" he asks. "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" And then Jesus ends the parable with, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." That landowner is indeed generous, does not cheat anyone, doesn't take advantage of anyone, and actually does a great service to those who worked only a little. In that day, day laborers, such as those being hired in this parable, had a precarious existence. They often could not get regular work. Sometimes they could go an entire season without working. The landowner's generosity towards those who work a short time is a great gift to them. It is a help so that those who finally get some work will have money to buy food that day. And so the landowner's actions may offend us, the people in that time, because it violates the norms of what we think about pay and equity and human justice. We assume if you work longer, you're going to be paid more. We can relate, perhaps, to that resentment. Maybe this parable pricks at our sense of what is fair. Jesus tells this parable to remind us what the reign of God is like. Parables teach us about God. Parables reveal to us God's nature. Parables illustrate how God behaves toward us and how God calls us to act toward others. And so with this parable, Jesus is referencing that question the disciples ask about their reward and saying, don't worry. Don't concern yourselves with rewards and how long others may labor and what you have done. But instead remember that God is gracious, that God shows compassion and mercy to all people, that all will be rewarded. Rewarded, in fact, with a surprising reward that surpasses our wildest hopes and dreams. For God treats everyone not as they deserve. And all of us fall short of the glory of God. We all disobey God. We all sin and rebel against God. We all have times we turn away from God's love. And God does not treat us as we deserve, but instead always shows us mercy, always welcomes us back. God loves us and cares for us, though we do not deserve God's love, though there is nothing we can do to earn God's love. And when we turn away, God even seeks us out. God longs for our return. Just like Jonah, when we run away, God welcomes us back, awaiting our return. When we are blind with envy of others, God waits for us to return. When we are angry that others receive treatment that seems unfair to us, God waits for us and welcomes us back. And so Jesus calls his disciples and by extension calls us to not begrudge God's generosity, to withhold our judgment of others, to be, in fact, gracious as God is gracious. God calls us to rejoice with that worker who receives a day's wages for 1 hour of work, wages so desperately needed to care for him and his family. We're to rejoice when one who has sinned repents and returns to God. We're not to be like Jonah, acting with anger, waiting on the hill for the punishment to come. Instead, we are to rejoice that one who was lost has been found. This is not easy to do. And I think we can only turn from our grumbling and from our resentment by fixing our gaze on God, the one who shows us what it is to be gracious, who shows us mercy and compassion, who seeks us out when we are lost, who welcomes us back time and again. And just as God treats us, so we are called to show others. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we too are called to rejoice, to welcome, to forgive. May we faithfully answer God's call to live as God lives. May we show generosity of spirit. May we shower mercy and compassion on other people, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who weep, and caring for others as God cares for us and as God loves us. Amen.